Today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring one shepherd. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The word of God for the people of God.
Nikki, thank you. The band, thank you very much. It's really, really wonderful to be with you and to experience that music. It's been an eventful week in Virginia, would you agree? And not the good kind of eventful. It has been a week that has required us to hear from some charges about their past. Others have had to consider and even admit both shameful and unfortunate moments in their lives. Last weekend, it was our governor, and it was a cloudy Wednesday when reports surfaced related to the lieutenant governor and then, yes, to the attorney general. And now I think that there are probably others in governance who are wondering what will be emerging next. In thinking collectively about that experience, I was reminded of that passage from Isaiah. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. While the confluence of disclosure and accusation of past acts of racism and other harm of top three officials is remarkable, truly, I mean, would you agree, that was remarkable? I found that in the thinking that I was doing about that, I was not as fixated on the sins of some of us, but the condition of all of us. For what we are seeing in the lives of these politicians is but a reflection of our society as a whole. It is not that those three individuals are unique sinners. It's that we live in a world of brokenness. Many of us, if you look like me, many of us can recall our own complicity and the legacy of racism and injustice that helps us hear the words, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. In the Bible, it is a common reference to compare human beings to sheep. We find it in Psalm 100, the third verse. We are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture. We find it in Ezekiel chapter 34 in a couple places, but this is one. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. Can I ask you something about your life? Have you ever felt like a scattered sheep? Have you ever felt like a scattered sheep? I mean, this is where you nod your head or you do something other than just stare straight ahead. I don't know if you're just thinking about the person next to you and what their issues are, but have you ever felt like a scattered sheep? Me too. Many of us have experienced that feeling of regret when we've lost our way, that day of cloud and darkness. And sometimes it's not the day itself, it's remembering the day. Because on the day we got lost, we did not feel lost. Amen? On the day I get lost, I'm just doing it Tom's way that day. I'm not lost. I am on a path, and I'm usually confident about my way on that day. It's often later when I gain the perspective after the clouds and the darkness arrive. This week, if you are from Virginia, you have to consider the wisdom of the metaphor of sheep and how on point it feels. Sheep, as we know, sometimes do not exercise good judgment. Sheep are easily influenced by other sheep. Sheep can be impulsive, hurtful to themselves, damaging to their habitat, and even destructive to other members of their own flock. And while the confessions of acts of racism are disappointing, while accusations of sexual violence are shocking, it is also a reminder that many have past moments that we hope will remain far away from the lights, cameras, and microphones of the media. And the question that I've been thinking about, and maybe you too, is this. What are we to do now? What are we to do now? I find in my life there are a lot of moments where I don't know what to do next. And I'll tell you, sometimes the anxiety of that will wake me up at 5 in the morning. Some of you get up at 5 in the morning on purpose. I do not. My alarm goes off about 6 every morning, but at 5, I don't want to know how much you love the morning. But sometimes my eyes open at 5 a.m. or earlier, fueled by nothing but anxiety of not knowing what to do. Does that ever happen in your life? You too. Well, we should get together. I mean, as long as we're all up, we might as well get together. And this week has been such a blessing because we're in this series where we're asking ourselves, do I believe that God is really here? We were looking at these passages in John's gospel where he says, I am the gate, I am the gatekeeper, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light, I am the... Today, this week, the one that's been in front of me all week, because I've got to get ready for this moment, is I am the good shepherd. Do you know when the best time is to find a good shepherd? When you are lost. When you don't know what to do. When you are in that 5 a.m. moment, not the happy one that some of you are afflicted with, but my 5 a.m. moment. Where you're awake and don't want to be awake. 4:10. I looked at the clock recently. 4:10. You have got to be kidding me. Nobody on God's green earth ought to be up at 4:10. And the best news of all, but it's so hard when you're in a dark space like you are at 4:10. It's hard at 4:10 to remember or to see that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. What kind of a shepherd? Good shepherd. And Jesus said in this passage, I'm not like the hired hand. The hired hand is transactional. The hired hand is just in it for the day. The hired hand is just in it for those few hours, and they want a paycheck, and they want to go home. But the good shepherd is relational. The good shepherd doesn't love you based on what you do for the good shepherd. The good shepherd just says, you're part of my flock. Now, make no mistake, the good shepherd is going to shear you from time to time. That's a part of the deal. But I am the what? And so in these dark moments, we have to ask ourselves whether we believe that God is true when God says, I am here. And what I find this past week is I did not know what to do with everything I was seeing in the news, I really didn't know. And some people were calling for resignations, but then other people, I said, what will that accomplish? Will that accomplish anything of significance? While a correction delivered to one or two lives sends a message that may need to be sent. Many of us are longing for opportunities for something that could impact everybody. What should we do? Because you know what I don't control? I don't control a resignation. Amen? I don't control a politician. I don't control the state of Virginia. There is something I control. What I control is this question. What am I to do? What are we to do in such a moment? And I could feel the nudge of Jesus, the gaze of Jesus, because Jesus said, I am a good shepherd. Some of y'all still haven't gotten it. We'll just keep working on it. It's like the worship leader. She just keeps singing the verse until you sing it back, right? I am the good shepherd. And I could feel the gaze of Jesus, because you know how your mom and your dad were when you were young, and you were, so often when we think about the good shepherd, we think about getting off the track and you're wandering away and bad, 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 bad. And we're like, and I remember when I was little and I was maybe wandering off track, and you could feel it across the room, right? The gaze of the good mother. Bringing my good father, bringing you back. But sometimes Jesus is a good shepherd, not because he's getting you to not do the bad thing. Sometimes he's gazing at you, waiting for you to do the good thing. Because if he's a good shepherd, he's going to try to get you to do a good thing. And this week, when I was thinking, what's a pastor to do this week? What's the faith community to do? I'm thinking about that. And I just wanted to say, well, it's bigger than all of us. Well, it's been going on a long time. And I could feel myself getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Because we've got other things to do. Amen. I mean, that stuff you're waking up at 4 a.m. about, that was before the governor and all this happened. But I this week felt the gaze of the good shepherd saying, I need you to be larger, not smaller. So I encourage you to do what I did. I called the rabbi. In fact, my life would get a lot easier if all y'all would call the rabbi. Now, I think the rabbi called me. But we called each other because we were both separately having this question of what should a faith community leader do with all this. So my friend Rabbi Holtzman called me, and we were talking, and I was like, Michael, what are you going to do? And he's like, well, what are you going to do? And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? And we were living with that, and we had some idea. We had some kind of big ideas. So we wrote an email. We sent the emails out so that they could go out to die. We sent some emails to politicians, and they just died quietly. They breathed their last breath, where all good emails go. To email heaven. And then we talked later and said, well, what are we going to do? And it suddenly occurred to us that two white guys may not even have the right questions, much less the right answers. So he said, why don't we call Kenneth and Vernon, two African-American pastors, and why don't we all get together and have a conversation? And the only time we could get our four schedules to mesh was Thursday night at 8 a.m. Thursday night at 8? Oh, not 8 a.m. Thank you. Thank you. It was 8 p.m. I don't know about you, but that is not the high water mark of my personal energy. Right? And I just like, 8 p.m. And I wanted to be like, Michael, 8 p.m. 8 p.m.
Do you know how important I am that I can't do such things to myself? But I could feel the gaze of the who doesn't care a lot, right? And so at 7:58 p.m., I was driving into the parking lot of the synagogue, and I was just honestly, as I was praying up there, I was like, Lord, may nobody else show up, and I'll just go on. And I park the car, and I get out, and we go inside, and it took a little while for everybody to get there. And you know, one of the pastors, Vernon, he had a meeting that went until 9, and he called, and he said, should I still come? And we were like, yeah, come on. And he drove from Vienna to Reston at 9 p.m., and I thought, wow, this thing must be important to him. And we were talking, and we in this conversation, we just sort of shared our experiences of race in Virginia. And, you know, there's the rabbi whose culture has experienced the Holocaust and the two African-American pastors who have experienced, you know, here we are in the 400th year of enslaved people showing up on the shores of Jamestown and the legacy of all that. And then here's the white Protestant guy. So anytime I felt my mouth running a little too long, I felt the good shepherd going, you just listen. And finally, Michael looked at Kenneth and he said, hey, Kenneth had been sort of sharing, what's it like to be an African-American man in this culture, in this time? What's that like? And that was a really interesting conversation to hear. And he said, Michael said, how many times have you ever shared what it's like to be you with a couple of white guys? And it took him a while, and honestly, I could see in his brain he was counting. And he said, I think this is the third time in my life. And then one of us said, why do you think that is? And he sort of looked in my direction, he said, because nobody ever asks. And so we got to that point in the conversation where you want to do something, but you don't know what to do because the thing you're thinking about is so large and it is actually so important that it would be silly to have an unimportant response to an important issue. Does that make sense? Do you ever have times in your life on any issue, maybe it's a big social issue that really worries you, but maybe it's a personal issue where you feel a little lost? Do you ever have that happen? And what I want you to hear this morning is, my experience is, it's really important to decide whether or not God is here. It's just like we handed out these little things last week, so you could put them up in your car or in your mirror or on your desk or wherever. And these are available at the welcome desk, so if you weren't here last week and didn't get any of these little doodads, you can still get them. They're still out there. You might want to break them apart. They're like 3 to a pack. You might want to break them apart so you can share them, you know, because we handed out a lot last week. But the reason to do this is so that you can know and remember that I am here. Because it's only when we begin to believe that the Lord is sitting with me in my issue and the thing that's important, not just to me, but to the Lord, that we're going to start making less of ourselves and more of the Lord. Because so often, I find in my life, I'm just going my own way and sometimes trying to do good things in ways that aren't that smart. And it's about hearing the shepherd's voice. Did you notice when Nikki sang this morning, when she led the song? Did you notice how many of us were off tempo? Did you notice at first? How it took us a while? Why? Because she was singing that song a little bit slower. And I know some of you were like me. We're like, none like you. Come on, Nikki. You know, were you like that? Just a little bit? And then honestly, I was like, she's the shepherd. Like, I'm the sheep right now. I just need to listen to the gifted person. And your life in Christ is just like following her in worship. You've got to have, Jesus says, I know the sheep and the sheep know my voice. But it's not just knowing Jesus' voice, it's entering into the tempo and the cadence of obedience. And so we got to the point in the conversation where we didn't know what to do, and finally, I think it was Vernon said, you know, I think we need to think relationally, not politically. And he said, I think, what if we just got some pastors together to get to know each other and to... And then we had this crazy idea that I worked on Friday and it didn't work out and I felt defeated. And then, but I just felt the Good Shepherd. And honestly, the idea that we've got for this coming week, I really think may fail. Because there's not a lot of time and there's just everybody's scattered, but I'm still feeling the gaze of Jesus. And last night we had a talk and I was like, Jesus, I don't have energy or time. And I didn't feel the Lord say, don't worry about it. I'm asking you really what your experience of Jesus is in your life. Is there somebody you've given up on? Is there somebody in the family you're not talking to? Is there an openness, a mental openness that Jesus is trying to get you to become open to something, and you keep saying no, and the Lord keeps saying yes? And we all say we want to know that God is here. We all say, oh, I want to be, I want to know God is with me, but I find I uniquely want God to be with me when God is confirming what I want to do. Amen? But what about when the Lord is driving you to a deeper sanctification and a deeper obedience to perfect your soul? What about that? Because I got to tell you something, the Lord doesn't sanctify anybody by saying, it's all fine. Nothing needs to change. And it's sometimes uncomfortable and it's sometimes inconvenient and it's sometimes downright prophetic. But if the Lord is going to be the shepherd, it's going to be like that. Because we get ourselves into messes, don't we? Do you ever get yourself into a little mess? Because you were doing it your way and you're like, Jesus, keep telling me that my way is the way. And then you, after a while, you just realize, Jesus was never telling me this was the way. That was just me and the other sheep around me. There's this video of a sheep who gets himself in a mess that's been going around lately. The sheep, he jumped into the tire. Nobody put the sheep in the tire. The sheep did this all on his own. And now the sheep's got a problem, doesn't he? Watch this. Watch this. Oh, is he going to do it again? Watch. Woo! No sheep were harmed in the video. The sheep jumped. Now, here's the story that I'm told. The sheep jumped through that thing, and then the farmer had to come. The good shepherd had to do what? Get him out of that mess. Well, after you take a video. Hey, you think the Lord's not taking a video of you? Right? You think that's not you somewhere? And there are all the angels sitting around going, watch this again. This is so stupid. Just watch it again. And all the heavenly hosts, that's what they do. That's why it's eternity, because there's videos on all of us. So the heaven is a big YouTube screen, you know. That is not, that's an aside. That's where the time gets away from me and... So we get in these messes, and what I want you to notice about the Lord being your shepherd is in the 23rd Psalm. And this just came across me this week. I'd like to say I came across this, but it came across me. So the 23rd Psalm begins this way. Say that with me. And that sounds great, doesn't it? So does the next line. You know the next line. I shall not want. But what I want you to notice about the rest of the 23rd Psalm is that it is a psalm about lordship and the benefits of lordship. And we believe it was written by King David, who was actually a what? A shepherd. King David knew what it was to be a shepherd. And when he uses the metaphor to say that the Lord is my shepherd, he knows the deal of how sheep relate to a shepherd. And the sheep don't walk up to the shepherd every day and say, bless my stuff. Bless my every thought and attitude. Every strong opinion I hold, it must be a sanctified opinion. No, your whole story is the dumb stuff you used to believe that the Lord has now shown you is not the way of love. That's our story. This is my story, is what the Lord is showing to me. But notice in the 23rd Psalm, it says, he what? Read it with me. Three words. He makes me. It doesn't say, he politely asked. It doesn't say, and then the Lord said, hey, Tom, if you would feel like it, if it's not too much of a trouble, if it doesn't require you to surrender too many of your strong opinions. The psalm says, he makes me. Now, in this line says, read all five words. He makes me to lie down. Okay, it's six, but nonetheless, he makes me to lie down. But then notice the promise. Because so often when I'm like, Lord, don't make me 8 o'clock p.m. Don't make me. He makes me lie down in what? Isn't that nice? He, three words, leads me. He says, you follow. Why? Because I am the what? Sheep. You are what? The sheep. You are the sheep, but the Lord is the shepherd, and so he leads me. But notice that then it says, beside what kind of water? Still water. And that's really important for sheep. Sheep won't drink from running water. You know that. So if they have still water, then they can drink. And that does what? Restores our soul. He, what's the next line? Leads me in paths of righteousness. And the reason that he has to lead me in the paths of righteousness, the reason I've got to learn the cadence of the shepherd's voice, is that quite frankly, if you examine my past and all the things I've ever said and all the things I've ever done, it's a pretty embarrassing video. There are portions I don't want displayed. And praise be to God for forgiveness and redemption. Amen? Amen. And I wish that was just true in one area of my life. But if you're like me, there's a lot of junk that you never want on a screen. Amen? And so when it says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness, that obedience is the good news. The surrender is the good news. Because it's a little bit like when I start listening to Nikki's voice and following her cadence, the music just gets better and better and better. When I stop doing it my way. So, I don't know, you know, my conversation, I don't know if it'll really go anywhere, because a lot of times, I don't know if you're like this, a lot of times I don't know what I'm doing. Is that true for you? I'd like to make that a little stronger, but we're in church. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. But I love the moment of feeling like, maybe the shepherd's gazing at me. And maybe if I just follow, it'll become clear. I'll tell you this one thing about this one conversation. We left at 11 o'clock. Blessed. By one another. And one of them said, this has been good for my soul. And the others agreed. He restoreth my soul. did we fix all the race problems in Virginia? Don't think so. But were we obedient? Yes. What Jesus is calling you to is your obedience, and it begins with whether or not you believe that God is so omnipresent, that God is present with you, thinking about the things you're thinking about, asking you to do the things God is asking you to do, and entering into the discomfort that leads to the blessing. Because he says, I'm here. So can you carry that this week? He is a... Amen.